Have you ever come to a point in trying to live this life, knowing that God is sovereign and not understanding what He's doing? Something happens in your life that was not on your agenda, and you wonder why it's on God's. And you get to a point where you're ready to give up. If God is this way, then I don't need to follow Him. We find Joseph could have been in that type of situation. But we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 40. And it's in this passage we find that God is working in Joseph's life to be a blessing to others. And I think He wants us to all be a blessing to others, and He's willing to do that. He's willing to work in us. But here we find in the last verse of Genesis 39, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. It seems ironic to say that the Lord was with him. Just a brief summary of what has happened to Joseph. Joseph was obeying his dad and going to check on his brothers and the herds and going to bring a report back to his dad. He's under authority. He's doing what his father wants him to do. And then he arrives, it's taken some time and effort, but he finally finds his brothers. He arrives there and they throw him under the bus. Well, maybe not a bus. Maybe it's a camel caravan, not a greyhound. But they sell him to the Midianites. And the Midianites take him to Egypt. It could have been they go via Maria or the trunk route. We don't know which. But either way, it's within 30 miles of where Jacob is living. And I am sure Joseph could have said something, "Hey, if you will take me over there to my dad, they will pay you whatever you want for me." But that doesn't happen. Why? So near and so yet so far. And so they take him down to Egypt. And he is on the slave market. And the captain of the guard, Pharaoh's captain of the guard, purchases Joseph. And of course, you know his name is Potiphar. Well, Potiphar buys him. We know Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. We don't know how much Potiphar paid for him, but more than that. And so then he's serving in Potiphar's house, and he becomes so adept, so effective. I would say he has the gift of administration. And he goes there and he organizes the household activities. He organizes the outside activities. And Potiphar is so amazed, and I wouldn't say lazy, but he turns everything over to Joseph. He doesn't need to worry about a thing. And so Joseph prospers because God was with him and God honors him. Joseph was living for the Lord even in difficult times, times that he couldn't understand why. Why did God allow this to happen? Now, I'd like to make a principle here. If you will not be faithful when God allows things going on in your life that you don't understand, and you abandon your faith or you just put it on the back burner, you live for yourself, you're angry at God. And all of us can get angry at God. But when you stop trying to live for Him in those days, don't expect God to use you in a mighty way when times are good. God wants to use us, but sometimes we have to go through some issues in order to arrive at that position. Joseph was there. And then, of course, his wife, Potiphar's wife, tried to seduce him. And when that happened, of course, he refused. Temptations will come to all of us at different times, unexpected. When we're trying to do the best we can for the Lord, Satan will attack us to compromise our integrity because he knows, Satan knows, that if he can get you to fall and yield to temptation, God will not be able to use you as much as he'd like in the future. So we're targets. Joseph was a target, but he resisted the temptations. And then he was trapped, lied about, and put in prison. I'd like to turn to Psalm 105. It's in this passage we get a glimpse of something that was going on in that prison that we don't see in the book of Genesis. Psalm 105 says in verse 16, and God called for a famine upon the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. He's talking about the future that we're going to look at in a few weeks. And he sent a man before them. God sent a man. This is Joseph before them. Joseph, who was sold as a slave. How can God send a man from his family and let him be a slave? How terrible! But God has his plans. Sold as a slave. Notice it says, they afflicted his feet with fetters, and himself was laid in irons. He had blisters where the iron shackles were around his feet. He was in irons, suggesting there was torture at times. You see, this Potiphar was the captain of the guard. And as captain of the guard, he was over the prison for the political prisoners. And when Potiphar's wife let out the news how terrible Joseph was in his attempt to attack her, which was a lie, Potiphar became intensely angry. But it doesn't say at whom. It could have been at his wife. He could have suspected that something was wrong, that his wife was lying. He could have done that. And I said, we're going to go into a little bit of that later. Potiphar was possibly angry at Joseph, but he was angry maybe at the situation. And so he put him in the king's prison, but he had every right to execute Joseph. He was, that suggests to me that he thought there might be something else going on besides Joseph doing wrong. He did not execute him. Instead, he put him in the prison. And so now this is where we are. But it says God was with him. It says to me that God is with us in our trials. And some of you may be going through trials. If you haven't, be patient. They're coming. Some of you have already been through the trials. And God is with us in the trials. Whatever prison we're in, he's with us. It says there, the Lord was with him and made him prosper. God knows how to make us prosper, even in our prisons. Then it came about, after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. We don't know what they did, but it was a political prisoner issue now, because they were on the outs as far as the king of Egypt was concerned. Pharaoh was not just angry, he was furious with his two officials. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard. Now, just a minute. Remember in chapters 37, 36, and 39, verse 1, who was the captain of the guard, the captain of the bodyguard? It was Potiphar. It was Potiphar who was captain of the guard. And so now the king of Israel, or king of Egypt, put them in confinement of the house of the captain of the bodyguard in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. Now notice this. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge. And I assume it was the same captain of the bodyguard. I believe it was Potiphar who put the cupbearer and the butler, or the baker, in Joseph's charge. That tells me he trusted Joseph again, if it ever was diminished. But he had, his wife had made it very public, so he had to do something, even though he may have doubted his wife, but now he knows Joseph is trustworthy. So he puts these two prisoners, Potiphar, I'm convinced, puts these two prisoners in Joseph's charge. And Joseph took care of them. They were in confinement for some time. I think that's several months at least. And then the cupbearer and the baker were confined. They both had a dream the same night. Then Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them. Behold, they were dejected. This tells me a lot about Joseph. You know, we can have pity parties in our prisons. We can feel sorry for ourselves when things go wrong and we don't understand and we're in situations where we don't deserve to be, that we're unjustly judged. We can have pity parties, feel sorry for ourselves, focus upon, oh, I'm so bad, it's such a terrible situation. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. But notice what Joseph does. He tries to be faithful, using his gifts to be a blessing to those about. He's entrusted with more. And instead of focusing upon himself in that bad situation, he focuses upon others. He recognizes these people are in prison. And I would be sad in prison. I've been to jails visiting people, not there, but I've seen the cells that they use as a home. And it's pretty bare and it's pretty not nice. But Joseph was there and his focus was upon these folks. He recognized they were not just normally sad, they were dejected. There was something going on. And so he's seen them. He's gotten to know them. He understands them. So what does he do? He says, What's going on? Why are your faces so sad today? And so they said, oh, we've had a dream. Each of us had a dream. There's no one to interpret it, which tells us that in Egypt, they had professional dream interpreters, just like Daniel in Babylon. They had professional dream interpreters, but they weren't accurate. The king of Babylon didn't trust them, so he trusted Daniel. There's no dream interpreter in jail, so what can they do? And so they said, we don't have anybody to interpret. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. What does this point out? It points out to me that Joseph knew that God was sovereign, and anything that happens, God's in control. God sent this dream, these dreams to these people. By the way, not all dreams are from God. If you have a terrible nightmare, terrible thing, it may not be of God. It may be that you had pepperoni pizza the night before. Or it may be that Satan is catching you. And I've had people come to my office and say, Pastor, I've had this dream from God and I've got to tell you, and it was not good. And I pray and I ask God, Lord, what do I say? And I became convinced. I said, this dream was not of God. This was of Satan to destroy you, to lead you astray. It was a revelation to her that not all dreams come from God, but these dreams came from God. He was an interpreter. He could say, he was confident. First of all, he was confident that these things came from God, just like things in your life and in my life, even though you don't understand them, can come from God. And notice, he had every confidence that God would reveal the interpretation through him. He had no question about it. He knew God that well. Do you know God that well? Where you have confidence that God is going to speak to you, give you information, speak through you. Walk close to God. He was walking close to God even in prison, and we can too, whatever our prison might be. So tell it to me. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream there was a vine in front of me, and in the vine were three branches that was budding and blossoms. It came out, their cluster of grape produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. I'd like you to notice some things. It's quite interesting about the threes here. First of all, there was one vine, but three branches came from that. There were three terms used for the grapes. Bud, it budded, it blossomed, and it put forth grapes. Three times the word Pharaoh is mentioned. Three times the word cup is mentioned. And three times the personal pronoun I is used. For example, I took, I squeezed, and I placed the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Joseph doesn't go into all those three things, but he does go into one, and that is he interprets the three branches. Pharaoh said to him, this is the interpretation of it. He had all the confidence that God was speaking. I believe what he did is he was listening closely and asking God, Lord, tell me what to say. This is the interpretation of it. Three branches or 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were cupbearer. So he tells him this story. He has every confidence by faith that in 3 days, this man is going to be restored to his position. Boldly. You know, he could be wrong in 3 days. That didn't even enter his mind. He knew this was from God. Can you imagine how that man felt? He was the cupbearer. He could be singing, my cup runneth over. He had joy, I'm sure. So, Joseph, so confident that this was going to happen, he said, please remember me. I don't belong here. When you talk to Pharaoh, you're close to him. Tell him about me and get me out of here. He was in prison. He was faithful in prison. God was with him in prison, but he still wanted out. It's appropriate to let your requests be made known to God. It's appropriate to try to improve yourself. That's what he was doing. The chief baker saw that he had interpreted favorably. He said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream there were three baskets of white bread on my head. In the top basket, there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. The birds were eating them out of the baskets of my head. I don't know what was all in there, but it said white bread was in them, and also probably some jelly rolls, some donuts, are you hungry yet? All sorts of baked goods. And then he said this. Here's the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, but it will lift up from you and will hang you on a tree. The birds will eat your flesh off you. That is not a good interpretation. Now, he had dreamed about three baskets. I think as a result of this interpretation, he was a basket case. Well, I would be. And I don't think he had full of joy. And so then we find, came about the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. He made a feast of all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. And then the chief butler was the one who restored his position, and the chief baker was hung on a tree. And yet, it says, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Forgot him. What happens? Is God with us when we are facing terrible situations that we don't understand? Yes, he is. Be faithful to him in those times, and you will see when those times are over, the tests you've passed, God will use you in ways you could not be used without going through that time. Joseph was faithful. And you know the story. You know the story well enough. But what we see here is God was with him, even in his prisons. And God was using this time to develop a man that would be ready to redeem a whole nation. Some years ago, I read the book, The Disciplines of Life by V. Raymond Edmond. In this was a poem, and I think it was written by V. Raymond Edmond. He was a former president of Moody Bible Institute. And I think this captures the idea here. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man. When God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world will be amazed, watch his methods, watch his ways, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay which only God understands, while his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes, how he uses whom he chooses and with every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. God knew what he was about with Joseph and all those trials. And they didn't last just a day or two or a month or two or a year or two. For 13 years, from the time he was 17 years old and sold into slavery by his brothers, to the time in the next chapter where he's lifted out of prison. It was 13 years. He was 30 years old. I don't know how long your trials might last. 13 years? If you have a stroke, Betty's husband endured, I think, 25 plus years of being crippled by that stroke. I don't know your prison. But hang in there. Be positive. Trust that God is doing something in your life that you don't know, but you can trust him. And then watch him use you in ways that you can't even imagine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Joseph, who was faithful to you through all the difficulties. And he was faithful to you when the good times came. You guided him every day. You were with him even when he did not understand it. And you blessed him. Help us to be faithful to you even when we don't understand what's going on. And we ask that you would bless each of us. In Jesus' name we pray.